We have we've got two classes left in this series that we've been doing, and Buzz, I completely forgot to get the remote. Either you can click it, or I'll walk back there and get it. So this is our next to last class in this series. We've combined the classes for all of the adults. Thank you, sir. We've combined the classes for all of the adults because of the nature of this topic. We've said that a couple times during this course, and just the nature of talking about personal evangelism. This is something that all of us need. And I don't know that we've talked about anything new necessarily. It's just helpful reminders to say this is what we need to be reminded of, that we all have a personal responsibility when it comes to evangelism. This isn't just for particular people in the church. It's for everybody in the church. This isn't a responsibility that God gave to a select few. It's a responsibility that God gave to all of us. And so we need to be mindful of the souls that are around us and the responsibility that we individually have to them, recognizing that we may be the only Christian. We may be the only New Testament Christian that some folks ever meet. And so I've got a responsibility to those individuals in my circle, those people I know personally, and those people I see that I don't know personally. The person that you see at Burger King tomorrow, the person that you see at the bank, the person that you see at the gas station, whatever it may be. You may be the only New Testament Christian that comes within their bubble their entire life. Well, I've got a responsibility to reach out to them and to seek an opportunity to make a difference for Jesus in their life. And so that's what we've been talking about, trying to encourage us, to motivate us, to give us ideas, to help us to understand that we can do this. There's a lot of fears, excuses, and obstacles sometimes we put in our way, but we can overcome those and say, okay, with the Lord's help, I can do this. Did everybody get a handout? Now, I recognize if you've got your folder with you tonight, I recognize that the last page that you had from a couple weeks ago, and then you look at page 26 that we're starting with tonight, that I can't even remember the page number. Starting with page 26 tonight, and you probably ended with page 22 or something like that, and you're like, well, what did I miss? Well, the pages you missed, you're getting next week. And you think, well, that's weird. Because I'm weird, and I'm skipping those pages in the middle. But this is what I call an addendum, all right, that's at the top of the page. It's an addendum to what we've already talked about, and we're going to finish up the pages in between next week. And if you don't like it that way, I'm sorry. But we need to feel a personal responsibility. What's our motivation? What's this four-letter word that sometimes we've talked about in this class that this is what ought to drive us and move us to seek lost souls? It's love. Our love for God, our love for lost souls, our love for the gospel, our love for the church, our love for each other. That ought to drive us. It ought to move us. And so it ought to cause us three things we've looked at. ACT, right? Awaken to lost souls around us. Create opportunities to teach, and then when those opportunities open up in front of us, to walk through them and to teach the gospel. So, two weeks ago, we talked briefly about this series of Bible studies that we have available out in the lobby for you to take and to use whenever you want to teach somebody the gospel. Ones that we have created here that have been found to be useful, that all you need is one of these booklets and a Bible and a pen, and you can sit down and teach somebody the gospel. It's very, very simple to be able to do that. And so we talked just 3 weeks ago, just kind of an overview of these booklets, kind of the philosophy behind each of the lessons and the things that you need to make sure you kind of concentrate on as you go through them. But what I want to do tonight, and you see it on your handout, and there's not as many blanks on your handout tonight, but I want to talk about with you just the logistics of sitting down and having a Bible study with somebody. What are logistics? Details. The how-tos. The ins and outs of how to conduct a Bible study. Some of you have conducted a lot of Bible studies with people. Some of you have maybe conducted a few. Maybe some of you have never sat down and studied with somebody, and so there's a lot of fear, trepidation, uncertainty. Well, how do I do it? What do I do? And so what I want to talk about tonight are just seven key ideas, seven main considerations to have when it comes to sitting down and talking to somebody about the gospel. And my focus will sort of be on how to use these books, although it's not really just these. It's really some ideas you can use on teaching any method that you choose to teach the gospel to somebody. These are not rules, okay? I don't think the word rules appears. These are not things you have to do. These are, to me, they're hints. They're ideas. They are, what are on these pages are things that have worked for me. They may not work for you. You may say, oh, I don't need that. But these are things that I have found to be helpful in setting up and conducting and following through with studies. And so tonight I'm just sharing some things that I have found helpful that maybe will help you to have greater confidence that says, I can do that. Now, you may not agree with some of these things. In fact, you may disagree with some of them, and that's okay. But at least consider them as we walk through them tonight. So, all right, number one, we got to get through this. We got a lot of pages to cover. Some logistics for preparing for and conducting a Bible study. Number one, you got to set the time and place. Now, that's obvious, right? You got to set the time and place. But what I urge you to do is to set the time and place that is the most convenient for who? Not you. For them. What works best for them? Now, you know, if you're having dialysis on Monday morning, well, you're probably not going to be conducting a study, you know, unless you say, hey, you want to come over there and sit down with me? I mean, I got 4 hours to sit there on dialysis. So you come over there, we'll have a Bible study together. And hey, that'd be pretty cool to have a 4-hour Bible study. But that's probably not but you need to find a time and place that's going to work best for them. Now, where's that going to be? Where's the time and place that's going to be best for them? Do some people want to have the study at their house? For some people, is it going to be best to do it at their house? Some people, they don't have to go anywhere, right? You know, come over to my house. Now, for some people, do they want you to come to their house for a Bible study? Some people say, hey, come on over, have a study at my house. There'd be some other people who'd be like, I don't want you to come to my house. I have to clean up. You know, I'd have to put stuff away. You know, I'd have to tidy. I don't want people in my home. Don't be nosy. I don't want you looking at the mail on my, you know, I mean, so there's people on both ends of that spectrum, right? Now, that's changed over the years. Used to be decades ago that in somebody's home is where you usually had the study, but that's kind of shifted away from people. Now, what about in your house? Now, you've got to clean up the house, right? What about in your house? Could you invite them over to your house? Prepare dinner? Sit down and eat dinner? Have dessert? Have a homemade key lime pie? You know, that's you have a homemade key lime pie, that's juicing somebody up for a Bible study, all right? Now, but you feed them, and then you sit down and say, okay, you know what, let's have this Bible study. Now, are there benefits to having it in your house? Yeah, but it may not work best for them. It may be in a neutral location, maybe at the church building, maybe at Panera Bread, maybe at a park, but the point is, you got to figure out the time and place, obviously, but it needs to be something that is most convenient for them. And do your very best to work your schedule around them. Number two, you got to figure out who's going to be there, the participants. And again, this is obvious, but I want you to think through some things with me, okay? Who's going to be there? Number one, on their side of things, will there be anybody in the study besides the person that you know is going to be there? You've set up a study with Sue. You've set up a study with Jim. Okay, is anybody else going to be around? Now, I'm not saying you need to interrogate somebody to find out if somebody else is going to be there, but I've walked into studies sometimes and found out, oh, well, I thought I was studying with so-and-so. Now I'm studying with so-and-so and his mom and his dad and his brother. Now, that's fantastic. I'll, you know, bring on the crowd. That's wonderful. But sometimes that's nice to know ahead of time. You know, are we having one study? Or are there going to be other people around the house? It helps you to put things into a frame of reference, you know, who's going to be there. Now, flip side of that is that's who's going to be there with them. Try to figure that out. But is there going to be anybody with you? Or are you going by yourself? Do you need somebody to go with you to help you conduct the study? Good. Fine. Ask somebody. Call me, call Dan, call an elder, call somebody in the church. Hey, I've got a Bible study set up. Would you come over and help me conduct it? Or do you need somebody to go along with you? Maybe not to conduct the study, but just to kind of be your partner in the study. Or sometimes what I need in a study is I need a silent partner in the study. What does a silent partner do in the study? What's the key word in the silent partner in the study?
Silent.
All right, they're silent, okay? So, well, why would you need a silent partner in the study? Okay, if I'm teaching the study, I know where I'm going, hopefully, right? I know the direction I'm going. I know how we're going to get there. And if we're going to take any detours, I'm going to be the one behind the wheel that's taking those detours. But sometimes if there's somebody in the study with me, and this person that I'm studying with says something, and they jump on it. Oh, well, sometimes I'm not ready to do it. Sometimes that's further down the road. But if I've got a partner, and so if you're in a study with me, I'll tell you if I want you to be a silent partner or not a silent partner, all right? It just depends on who we're studying with. But if somebody's a silent, they're just there for moral support, right? Now, they may be there for other reasons, and I'll get into some of that as we go. Now, you may need some, I think I have this under this point, or is it somewhere else? Yeah. Do you need somebody there to prevent a potential problem? Gentlemen, are you listening? Males, M-A-L-E's, in the room, are you listening? You don't need to be in a room with a female by yourself. Okay? So if you've got a study set up with a female, you're not going to that study by yourself. Even if she says, oh, it's okay. No, it is not okay. All right. So you need somebody to go along with you, preferably not another male. All right. Take your wife with you. Take your daughter with you. Take your mama with you. Take somebody with you so that it's not you and a female by yourself. So some of this is obvious, but it's you got to think about this, and you may think it is absolutely innocent that you're pure of heart and he or she is pure of heart. Absolutely. But we don't want to run into any kind of problems at all because we're in that kind of a situation. Now, that doesn't just go for Bible studies. That goes for any kind of situation like that. So, got to figure out the time and place. Got to figure out the participants. All right, logistic number three. There's the follow-through, meaning, what does that mean? That means, all right, you have set up a time and place. We're going to meet at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, May the 1st, 7 o'clock Tuesday night at the church building. All right, you got the time, the place, you got all that nailed down. You got to follow through with that. What does that mean? If you set up a Bible study for, all right, what's today, Wednesday? So, okay, I've got a study set up for Tuesday next week. So I set up the study on Wednesday, and I've got to set it up for Tuesday of next week. Don't wait until Tuesday at 7 o'clock next week to see if that person's going to show up. Drop some little messages to them throughout the week. Not reminders. Don't forget now. No, it's just, hey, I'm looking forward to our study. And it's just reminding them, oh yeah, there's a study. Sometimes it just slips somebody's mind. Sometimes it's not necessarily high on their schedule. But if you're dropping little messages, hey, I'm looking forward to this. I can't wait until our study. Then it's just little reminders for them. Now, there's also a point down here. Oh, well, let me put these both up. I should have said that first, and I didn't. Letter A, you need to spend time praying about this. This isn't your word that you're teaching. This is God's word that you're teaching. And he's going to help you with it. And my key word on this one is friendly remind. Not just send. Do you get reminders from your doctor? Do you get the auto text reminders from your doctor or your pharmacy about you've got a prescription ready, you've got a doctor appointment? Are those friendly reminders? No. I mean, they're just stale. You have an appointment with Dr. So-and-so at 4:10. And it's like, great, all right. Why don't you be friendly? You know, put some emojis in there and put some hearts and smiley faces, you know, and put some blood being drawn or something, you know. But send friendly reminders, you know, that this is something that I'm looking forward to. Now, letter E, send pertinent details. If they're coming to your house and you live in a gated community, give them that information. If you got a code that they need to get into your community, give them that. Don't cause them to not know the information they're going to need. If you're bringing somebody with you, hey, I'm bringing my mama with me. She's bringing a homemade key lime pie. You know, let them know if so, that way when you knock on the door, they're expecting you, and they open the door. You've got the whole congregation coming. If you're bringing the whole congregation, then they need to know some of these pertinent details that are involved here. So, time and place, participants, follow through. Okay, page what, 27. Physical arrangements. Do the physical arrangements matter? Ideally, I want to encourage you to sit at a table, not at this table, but at a table, to sit at a table. I think I told you a couple weeks ago that, I've had studies in a lot of different places, but, I remember one study I had was with somebody where we were sitting in chairs in the living room, and there was one chair here, and there was another chair almost on the other side of this pew, but both chairs were facing the same direction. So I was sitting on this chair, and the other person was sitting almost on the end of that, and this is where we were having the study. Hey, that's better than nothing. I mean, I'll take that all day long compared to not having a study, but that's not the ideal situation. Nor is it ideal, David's opinion, nor is it ideal to even be just sitting on the couch, me sitting on the couch, this person, and we're sitting next to each other having the Bible study. I like sitting at a table. One, because if you're using one of these little booklets, you're writing. A whole lot better to be sitting at a table and trying to write. My preferred locations in a study is to sit catty corner from somebody. So if I'm studying with somebody, then we're sitting catty corner across a corner from each other. Now, across is okay unless it's like a massive table across. I just think you need to be in the vicinity, close vicinity to somebody that you're studying with. And here's the reason why. Here's physical arrangement. Which physical? Choose the Bible that you're going to use. What Bible are you going to take and use in this study? If you're using these booklets, a lot of the things in this booklet is based upon the New King James Version. So it'd probably be helpful to have a New King James Version. Or if you're using another study, it may be based on a different translation. But think about what Bible you're going to take. Now, the Bible that I take on Bible studies is not this Bible. I don't take my personal study Bible on Bible studies because this Bible is as marked up as it can be. Well, guess what's going to happen if I'm using this Bible in a Bible study with somebody? Well, first of all, it's going to be hard for them to read, all right, because there's just markings all over the place. But the markings are also distracting. So if we're trying to read a verse and they're trying to look at what notes it and why does he circle that and he's got a line drawn, all of a sudden the markings in the Bible become a distraction. And when I go on a Bible study, I take a Bible that has no markings in it. And the print in it is larger than this one. That helps some people, right? It helps me. And so maybe a Bible that's got a little bit larger print and a Bible that doesn't have any markings that are going to be any kind of a distraction for somebody. So think about, again, we're just talking physical arrangements, and you may think this is silly to be thinking about, but I assure you that it's helpful to think, okay, where are we going to sit? What Bible are we going to use? What study method am I going to use? If you're going to use one of these booklets, I recommend using just one booklet. If it's you and Susie sitting down for a study, even if you got silent partner William, or not William, Wilma, we'll go with a female, that's gone with you to this study, I think just having one booklet, you, person you're studying with, one booklet. That's my recommendation. And I'll give you more information about that in just a minute as we go through this. If the things are going to be at your house, try to remove all distractions. Turn the TV off. If the kids are home, turn the kids off. Do what you can to minimize noise and distractions, because they're already going to be distracted by being in a different environment. But if you can remove some of those distractions, and stay focused on the study, it will help the whole process. Letter F, silence your cell phone. And my highest recommendation is ignore your phone. Your phone, even silenced, your phone's going to go off in the study. Some of you have probably tried to contact me while I've been in a Bible study. I don't look at my phone in a Bible study. Somebody could be dying. I'm not going to know. I intentionally do not look at my phone during a Bible study. Personally, I think that's rude for me. If I'm sitting there trying to teach somebody a Bible study and I keep looking at my phone, to me, that's rude. So I refuse to do it. Now, reverse, and I've got this later on in here somewhere, reverse of it, if their phone rings, I tell them to answer it. If their phone goes, hey, you can get that. Why? Because I'm not trying to be the principal here. I'm not trying to be the teacher with the ruler and I'm smack your fingers. You should have silenced your phone. Didn't you hear the announcement at the beginning of our Bible study? You know, and if their phone goes, you can answer that if you want to. You know what you're being? Nice. You're being real. Maybe somebody is trying to get in touch with them and you're interrupting. And so now 99.5% of the time they don't. No. We'll deal with that later. But I can be nice. Say, hey, you can get that if you want. So the rule on the phone that I apply to me, I don't necessarily apply to somebody else in the study. Diane, do you have your hand up? Yeah, exactly. They're going to be wondering, well, I wonder who that... You know, they wonder, and so look at your phone. You know, is the doctor calling with your test results? Well, by all means, let encourage them to do that, and I think that puts them more at ease and helps them to see, okay, this is informal, and this is a nice person that I'm studying with, and is open to that sort of thing. All right, logistic number. What are we on? Number five. The beginning of the study. All right, so you've gone through this whole process. You've asked somebody, will you study the Bible with me? And they said yes. You set up the time and the place that is most convenient for them. You have figured out the participants. Who's going to be there? Who's going to be there with them? Who's going to be there with me? You have followed up with them throughout the week. Hey, I'm looking forward to our study. You know, do you want me to bring a fresh homemade key lime pie? I don't know why I keep coming back to that. But so you're following through with them so that they are ready for this study. You have figured out how things are going to be set up. At least you visualize in your mind the physical. Now, the beginning. What do you do when it starts? Well, first of all, you need to have been praying, letter A. But let me encourage you, especially if they're coming to you. This letter B applies if they're coming to you, whether it's a neutral location or coming to your house. Be looking for them. Don't make them, you know, come up and knock on the door and wait. You know they're coming. You've set this up. You've been waiting for them. And so instead of making them knock on the door and wait, you ought to be at the door. Hey, how you doing? Glad you're here. You know, be warm and open from the time that they arrive on site. Be warm and welcome. If it's here at the church building, I try to be watching out for them before they ever arrive, because guess what? Most people, when they come to the church building, what doors are they going to use? Those right out there. Well, guess where I am not if they're coming here for a Bible study during the week. I'm not out in that hot lobby. The AC's not running out there. You know, I'm over here in the office. So I'm trying to watch so that, because they're not thinking of a door over here. You know, they're thinking of door number one, not door number two. So they were looking at the front doors. So, but whatever it applies, now, if you're doing it a neutral site, be early. If you've set up a Bible study with them at 7 o'clock at the library, don't show up at 7 o'clock. You'd be there at 6:30. They might show up at 6:45. They may show up early. Don't be late. And for me, being on time is being late for something like that. So get there early. Make sure everything is arranged. I know I'm coming across strong, aren't I? I'm coming across like these are rules. These aren't rules. These are just things that have worked for me and things that I have found that have not worked for me. But your goal, letter E, your goal in these first few minutes is to just put them at ease. And so your goal in these first few minutes is to help them to feel comfortable. So letter F, spend the first several minutes just talking. When you sit down, it's not, okay, good, glad you're here. Okay, open your Bible to John chapter 3. No. Back up. The first thing we're doing is not opening the Bible. We're just talking. And it depends on who you're talking, or who you're studying with. Depends on how well you know them, how well they know you. But just sit and talk. And you might talk for 2 or 3 minutes. You might sit and talk for 10 or 15. I mean, it just depends. But just talk. Talk about family. Talk about life. Talk about work. Talk about children. Talk about whatever. Well, why do you? You're wasting time. Get to the book. Why are you doing that? It says it here, but why are you doing that? Building rapport. What else? You're establishing rapport. You're putting them at ease. Guess what they don't? They don't know what to expect. They have agreed to sit down and study the Bible with you. What in the world is this going to be? What is this person going to do? This is going to be weird. You just sit and talk. You know? What do you think about the Dolphins? Yeah, I don't think much about them either. Oh, well, that was a short conversation. But find something to talk that just puts, and now it also puts you at ease because you're nervous. You're nervous about what's going to happen. So before you get into studying the Bible, yeah, I can sit and talk about the Dolphins for at least 2 or 3 seconds or talk about this for, you know, it puts you at ease. It puts them at ease. And all of a sudden, okay, now you just ease into the Bible study. Number five, where is this? Number five, listen. When they're talking, listen. Don't just be quiet, but listen. And do not respond negatively or harshly to anything that they say about Bible teachings, church practices, or spiritual matters. Now, this may come up in just the talking section. You may ask them, did you go to church anywhere when you were growing up as a kid? And they may go through a number of things. Are you going to church anywhere now? And they may talk about it. And here's where you need to make sure that if you've got somebody sitting in the study with you, they also know we're just listening. If they say something about, you know, something that they grew up doing in the church or what a church practiced, what a church taught, now's not the time to do anything but just listen. And I will encourage you, even in the course of the study, even when you've got the Bible open and you're studying, if they mention something it's not pertinent to what you're studying, but they mention something about, yeah, you know, just some far out thing. Sometimes I just listen and say, you know, that's kind of interesting. Maybe we can talk about that later on and just keep going. It's not necessary to object to or correct everything that is said as soon as it is said. You may not agree with that. But sometimes people are going to say some things that are not according to Scripture, and you've got to figure out, do I talk about that now, or is it better for me to just wait and talk about that later? Because on the one hand, you're trying to ease them into a study. On the other hand, this first lesson in this course is establishing Bible authority. That's where you got to get. And if they've got a question about miracles, they got a question about the Holy Spirit, they got a question about angels, they got a question about the end times, they got a question about whatever, you can get to that. But you first got to establish the authority of the Bible, because those questions won't matter until they know that the Bible has all of the answers. So just spend some time listening. And then letter G, you just transition and you ease into the study. We got 10 minutes. I'm rushing through some of this, but I want to try to cover this. Page 29. I'm going to ask you if you've got any thoughts or questions after we get through this section right here. All right, so they've come in, you've sat down, you've chit-chatted about this, that, everything else. You've transitioned into the time for the study itself. Letter A, it is not a race. Okay? Your objective in a Bible study, let me say it this way. If you're using one of these booklets, this is going to sound weird. If you're using one of these booklets, your objective in a Bible study is not to finish this booklet. If you're using this booklet, aren't you supposed to? Yeah. You're going through the book. But your objective is, okay, I've got an hour. We've got to finish this booklet in an hour. You're not going to finish in an hour. I'll just tell you right now. So what's your objective? You're not in a race. You're trying to teach. So sometimes you need to allow more time for things to sink in. Are there some sponges that are do some sponges absorb more and absorb more quickly than other sponges? I don't know if that even makes sense. Okay, good. It must have made sense because you're saying yes. All right, so Are there some people that can absorb something, gather something, and it gets there quicker than other people? Yeah. You need to gauge how this person is responding, and you need to respond accordingly. And so some studies can go quicker than other studies can go, and you've got to be able to map that out as you go. Letter B, you need to get an idea of where they are in their faith and their Bible knowledge so that you can see where you need to start and how you need to progress. If you're using a study guide, stick to it. We've said all you need is the booklet, a Bible, and a pen, but go through the booklets before, ahead of time. Don't be surprised when you turn the page. Oh, that's what's on that page. No, know where they're going so that you can progress in a way that makes sense. Letter D, usually just using one Bible is most beneficial. This is where you may scratch your head and say, why is using one Bible most beneficial? Here's what I do in a Bible study. We're sitting at a table. Usually we're catty corner, but we might be across from each other. But if I'm in a Bible study with somebody, I've only got one Bible open. Usually it's the Bible I've brought to the study, my larger print, no markings in the Bible. That's usually what we're using. And I'll comment more about that in just a minute. But when I've got a Bible, see this Bible? This Bible is right side up. And I know you can't see this table up here. But when I'm in a Bible study with somebody, the Bible is on the table and it's facing them. Not facing me, it's facing them. Use this Bible and know how to find the verses. Buds, can you click for me? Just click I think the next line. You need to plan on finding the verses for them. Okay, so you're using one Bible, and you come to a verse that says, okay, read Matthew 7:21. And so you need to be able, this is David's opinion, okay? You need to be able, maybe even upside down, to flip to Matthew 7:21 upside down. And even be able to read it. Can you click one more time for me, Buzz? And maybe even be able to read it upside down. Now, you don't have to, okay? That's not a rule by any means. But I like to have one Bible that faces them. Now, you can have two. You can have their Bible and you can have your Bible. But I like a Bible that faces them, that they can see, that they can read. Now, you need to be the one that finds the verses in the Bible. When the study booklet says, read Matthew 7:21, don't say, turn in your Bible to Matthew 7. And they don't know where it is. Rule number one, don't embarrass the person you're studying with. They don't need to feel embarrassed because they can't find something in the Bible. You better know where it is. You know where it is. You turn there for them. So you find the verse. Here's David's guide on this. You read the verse. Rule number one, not embarrassing the person that we're studying with. We're not trying to test their reading ability. If they've never read a verse in the Bible before, it might be difficult. You know, where's the punctuation here? How is this flowing? Maybe it's a word they haven't read before or pronounced before. Let me put a caveat on all of this, okay? If they bring their Bible and they want to use their Bible in the study, use their Bible, okay? So I said I take my Bible and use it. But if they brought their Bible and they want to use their Bible, then use, because they need to see that this stuff is in their Bible, not just your Bible. It's in their Bible, all right? So that's caveat number one. Caveat number two, if they want to read, well, by all means, let them read. But you plan on doing the reading during the study unless they just really want to do it. And if they want to do it, by all means, let them do it. But if you're reading it, you know where to pause. You know what to emphasize. You know the point that's trying to be made in the verse. And my recommendation is that you do the writing in the booklet. Okay? These booklets have questions and answers, a place for you to write. I like to personally write the person, be the one to write it in. One, because I know the answer. I'm not testing them to get the right answer in the blank. And they're going to keep this booklet, and so I want them to go back and be able to review the things that we have studied and be able to see that this was the question and this is the answer that was found in the Bible to that particular question. So those are just ideas. Those are just some guidelines for you in this study. Again, it's not rules. Real quick, page 30. I know I'm rushing through this. You control the direction and the content of the study. This kind of goes on what I mentioned a little while ago. If they bring up something that is completely off topic, I would encourage you not to chase rabbits, okay? If they bring up something that is not in line with the study, you can say, you know what? That's a really interesting point. You know, but maybe we can look at that a little bit later on. Say something nice. Don't dismiss them. Don't say, we're not looking at that in this study. Say something nice. Don't dismiss them completely, but don't get distracted and deviated in your study. Stay on topic. Second thing under this point is don't answer questions until it's time. They may ask you a question that is going to be answered in lesson number two or is going to be answered in lesson number three. Don't answer a question prematurely. You say, well, why not? Well, one, because there's a process by which you're trying to lay this information out. If you answer a question prematurely, they may say, well, I thought that's what you were going to say. Never mind, I don't want to have this study. Well, wait a minute. We're stepping stones. We're laying the foundation of the authority of the Bible. We're understanding that the Bible gives us all answers. We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. It gives us every answer that we need. You got to lay that foundation. But if you start answering questions before you get there, they may say, well, never mind, I don't want that. Or it may not click with them because you haven't laid out all of this other information first. So I just, if they ask a question, say, you know what, that's a really good question. See this on the back? See the back page of this study booklet? That is a really good question. You know what? I'm going to write that down right here. Not going to forget that you asked that question. I'm going to write that down right here. We're going to get to that, and I promise you we will answer that question. Maybe not tonight, but I promise you we'll look at that question. That also gives you a way that if you don't know the answer, you can say, you know what? I don't know, but I'm going to write that down. I'm going to look it up, and we'll get back to you later on. So, really quickly. Don't do all the talking. This is quick. Letter I, if they give a wrong response, just gently bring them back in, but don't be harsh in doing that. It's letter J, it's not always necessary to correct something on the spot. You can just say, you know what, we'll talk about that later. Watch their body language, letter K. If their eyes start drooping, that's a message. The study is over. So just what, you know, if they're checking their watch, you know, then you need to respond to that. There's too much good stuff here. All right, letter O, down at the bottom, don't rush to baptism. Where do we want to get in a Bible study? Well, that's where we want to get. Our ultimate desire is for somebody to be baptized. But let me encourage you not to rush to get there. What does that... Well, David, we want them to get baptized. Why not? Does somebody need to understand why they need to be baptized? 100%. Does somebody need to understand the reward, the gift of God that they receive at baptism, the salvation of their sins? 100%. Do they also need to know the commitment that they're making when they are baptized? Baptism's not just about the free gift. Baptism is about the commitment I'm making to the Lord. And if I haven't had an opportunity to teach them all of that, but they say, you know what, we're rushing them to get baptized. Too often we convert people to the necessity of baptism, and we don't convert them to Jesus. We convince them you're going to go to hell if you're not baptized. But we don't convert them to a love for Jesus Christ. If they've got a love for Jesus Christ, guess what they're going to do? They're going to get baptized for the remission of their sins. But if I only convert them to being baptized so they don't go to hell, it shouldn't surprise me if I don't ever see them again. Because they've done what I told them they needed to do, and that's all that they needed to do. Follow the process. Get them to that point where they know what they're doing, why they're doing it, and the commitment they're making as they're doing it. All right. Thoughts or questions, comments, real quick. I know we're over time. Follow-up is your last page there. Just continue to follow up to set up the next study. Any thoughts or questions? I know I've rushed through this. Again, these are not rules, okay? These are ideas. It's things that have worked for me, may not always work for you. But I'm happy to talk about it or answer any questions that you might have. Next week is our last class. Thank you all very much for your patience tonight.